Welcome to Breaking Down the Buzz, the podcast where we explore the thrilling world of tech industry leaders. From AI to the latest trends, we cut through the noise and decode the tech buzz and share our collective insights and insider knowledge. Welcome back to Breaking Down the Buzz. Today we have an incredible guest, Joe Bamisil. Joe is not only a standout D1 basketball player, but also the CEO and founder of Monda, a groundbreaking mental health social media app. Join us as we dive into his unique journey, the inspiration behind Monda, and how he's balancing the world of athletics and entrepreneurship. Stay tuned. Well, Joe, thank you for joining us. We're super excited to have you on the podcast.
Of course.
Yeah. So I have just a few questions for you. You can take as long or as short as you want. So my first question is, as we know, and we'll talk about this, you're the CEO of Monda. And do you prefer to call it Monda app or Monda?
Just Monda.
Just Monda?
Yeah.
All right. So this is such a Joe question. If you could describe what the Monda app is in just one sentence, how would you describe it?
I would describe it as the combination of social media and mental health in one space.
Okay, we're gonna dig into that for sure. But before we dig too deeply into Monda, your background's a little bit different for the normal tech CEO. Most of us come up through, we have an education in technology or we worked in technology and like me said, hey, I want to go quit my job and start a tech company.
Yeah.
You're a little bit different. How'd you end up being a tech CEO?
So I've been meditating for 10 years now. I got really super into it. Every single day I meditate for at least an hour, sometimes two. And like over the course of time, people would ask me like, hey, like, can you teach me how to meditate? And then I had a stretch where I was dealing with my own things mentally and I had to use like journaling and affirmations as like a tool to like feel good up here.
Okay.
And I also like had met with a therapist and like seen the benefits of like opening up. And then like one day, I think it was 2 years ago now, I was explaining to someone like how to meditate, like how to get your thoughts out, having like having good phrases to say to yourself. And he was like, I wish I could just somehow take this with me, like on my phone. I was like, I can type it in notes or something. And then I was like, wait, this would be a good app idea. And I happened to be with people who were all like, two of them were CEOs of their own thing. And in my head, I'm like, why can't I do that?
Sure.
Yeah. And I invested the money I currently had at the time and created the application. And here we are.
Wow. Wow. A lot of people don't have the courage to do that, especially when you're talking about your own money.
Yeah.
People don't like to give up their own money to do that. So it's super impressive. So let's talk about Monda a bit. Can you kind of explain the core concept of Monda and how it works?
So the like most notable feature that when most people download the app, they're like, oh, this is another meditation app. But the difference is like, this is the first app where you can do group meditations. So whether we're seated right beside each other or you're trying to meditate with someone who's like hours away in a different state, 100 miles away, you can like set up a meditation and meditate with someone else, which is really cool. Cause I think, when you're trying to meditate on your own, it seems like a daunting task.
Right.
Like, it's just like, why am I doing this? Whereas like when you add this connective element to it, you feel a part of something and it's been beneficial for both people, which I think is really cool. And you don't feel alone. You get to listen to the same music at the same time. The meditation starts and ends at the exact same time. You get to journal at the same time. And it's like, it takes the singularity out of mental health. And we also have this thing called the Vanishing Journal, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. You go in, it's 5 questions, basically just debriefs your day. And then after you hit submit, it disappears. It's really cool about that, in the same way like people really like Snapchat because it disappears. Kind of just took that approach and applied that to the journal. We have affirmations. We have a couple preloaded ones that come with the app, but then you can add your own. delete ones you want. Now, after you meditate, you can post a story like Instagram or Snapchat. You can see when your friends are online. Then there's like an accountability streak. So every single day that you meditate or journal, you get like a 1 day goes up on your streak. What's cool about that? Your friends can see it. So kind of a motivated friend. We're like, oh, wow. Like,
sure.
Rosemary, taking care of herself for 8 days in a row. Like, let me do the same.
Right.
And then lastly, there's like this this leaderboard. We can semi-compete with other people on
that. Yeah, so let's talk about that for a minute. So I'm an endurance athlete, as you know. And so endurance athletes use an app called Strava.
Yeah.
And the joke is, if it's not on Strava, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so we get very competitive with each other as to who can ride longer, who can run faster, or whatever. When you're talking about mental health, how does that competitiveness, like, isn't that contrary to what you're trying to do?
It seems semi-contrary, but what's good is, like, a lot of people really struggle to slow down. So now imagine, because, like, you're a decently competitive person, like, imagine now, like, you had someone to compete with almost where you're like, I'm going to make sure I slow down and stop and take care of myself more times than that person. It's competitive, but it's getting you to do something that's good for you.
The end result is you're slowing down more, which is good, even if you had to compete to get there.
Exactly.
That's such a strange concept to me, but I get it. I the competitive person in me gets it, certainly. Yeah, certainly. And that shows the athlete in you, for sure. What sets Monda apart from other apps in this space?
So, like, gonna name drop apps like Calm and Headspace. They're all about, like, Calm's mostly about sleep, and then Headspace is mostly about meditation. We're trying to fill the gap between, like, apps like that and, like, an app like Instagram and Snapchat, where it's more about the community, your people you know,
right,
and, like, building a healthy space versus, like, just mental health or just fully social media. I think this healthy middle ground will be really good for both sides as well.
Right. Who's the primary target audience? Are you targeting students? Are you targeting athletes?
So by phase two, which should be out middle of August, late September, or early September, it's going to be like just a global platform, like Facebook or Instagram. And in the same way that, like, athletes, entertainers, artists, people in college, people who work in businesses, people who, you know, work 9 to 5s, all of them can get on Facebook. That's what's going to be with Monda. It's going to have a scroll feature, and you'll be able to, like, just have your own personal community versus, like, just getting on a meditator journal.
Right. How do you plan to market that? Like, what's the game plan there?
So my game plan is to first start with VCU. Like, obviously, I go to VCU, so
it'd
be really cool to get it in the hands of a lot of the students there. I've been reading a lot about, like, what Mark Zuckerberg did at Harvard and how, like, starting at a small base, like, made it easy, because now when people graduated, they'd be like, hey, we use this. So starting there, and then the reason why I want it to come out in August, September is because obviously that's before basketball season.
Right.
So being able to market it over the course of a basketball season would be really important to me. And then lastly, like, partnering with therapists, counselors, and then people who like do, like, sports performance or mental coaches, like, just partnering with those, like, four groups of people would be really important to me.
Right. Yeah, and we didn't mention it until now, but you are a D1 basketball player, which most people don't realize that that's basically a full-time job in and of itself.
Yeah, decently busy.
You're a student also, so, and now you're running a company. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of stress in your life, maybe, a little bit?
I think what's cool is, like, I'm glad I get to experience this young, but, like, I enjoy everything I do. Like, I wake up and play a sport I really like playing. I like lifting weights. I like doing yoga. I like the fact that I get to be around people who all have a common goal and compete. I want a degree, Like, I like school. I think it's cool to learn new things. I think it's cool to be around people you might not ever meet. And then running a company, like, it's great to put an idea that you had into the world. It's cool, like, the conversations you get to have. It's cool that it's a space that I love.
Right.
And I love it. So I think it's almost like I can leave one thing and go to the next thing and not think about the last thing versus it being, like, this stressful pandemonium going on.
Yeah. So how do you pivot from being Joe the basketball player to Joe the CEO? Like, you walk out of the BDC and now you're going and you're running a company. How does that happen?
I would say, like, I've cultivated this oneness in who I am. So it's not like I put on a bunch of different hats. I'm just consistently Joe. And, you know, gratefully to God, like, that works in each space.
Right.
And I'm really grateful for that. Because I think when you have to put on different hats, that can get mentally exhausting.
Right.
People who are with me in the gym versus a class versus, like, people in my company would probably estimately say, like, the same thing about who I am, because, like, I don't really change my approach to anything.
Right, right. You're very consistent, for sure. I mean, watching you in interviews or just your joy on the court versus your joy in working with Monda, it's very consistent, for sure, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people, I know this because I am in this space, the grind of building a company is really, really hard.
Yeah.
And that you can stay positive through that when, you know, things don't always go your way is amazing to me.
I mean, yes.
It's hard.
It's not easy. It'd be backwards, though, like running a mental health company and, like, not having good mental health.
Well, that's true. Yes, that is true. That's absolutely true. Yeah. Yeah. So as a current D1 athlete and as a current student, which, again, we don't typically run into folks who are running companies while all of that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
How important do you think that mental health support is, particularly for the athletic community? I mean, you're in a space that most people don't find themselves in when you're playing D1.
Yeah, I mean, playing a Division I sport, any college sport, is it's very exhausting. You pour so much of yourself into it that you can lose your identity and, like, this thing that I do is who I am. Well, unfortunately, like, no matter how good you are, sports end, you're going to have a bad game. You're going to have moments where you don't want to do it. You're going to have moments when you're tired. You're going to have moments where you're going to have to choose between, like, the sport and something that's just as important. And having the ability to, like, cope with those things, understand those things, like, put the energy in the right place and have your mind stay calm and, like, put your identity in the place it needs to be so that you're not having crises is really important for an athlete.
Right. And,
you know, I think beyond the success of, like, my own personal company, I think doing something like this will, you know, help give motivation to other athletes that I can be more than just, like, the sport I play.
Right, right. And I would imagine, again, I've never experienced this, but Monda is a mental health app, so I think it's important to talk about this. The pressure of being on a national stage and having a bad game and then maybe some idiot placed a bet on the game and now they're trashing you on social media.
Yeah, yeah.
It, you know, I would imagine that having an outlet for that, like meditation, is key.
Yeah, yeah. See, I've gotten away from it all. Like, I don't personally run my own Instagram account. I have, like, a burner where I'll get on and, like, watch memes and stuff. But, like, my own personal, I don't dabble in that. But you're right. Like, no one wants to play bad in front of a lot of people. But, like, one thing I like to say is, like, you know how great your life is by your worst problem. And if my worst problem is that, like, 15,000 people got to watch me do something I put tons of time into, that's a really good problem to have.
What a great outlook that is. I'm not sure most people would think of it that way. It would be, you know, oh, I went out there and I missed that three-pointer or whatever.
Yeah.
And your outlook is refreshing. And I think business people could learn from that also. I mean, in my world, it's different, but we can have salespeople that work really, really hard on proposals, and they put everything they have into this proposal, and they pitch it to a company, and the company chooses someone else.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, they just do. And that can be really disheartening for them because they feel like they put everything into it. And I think everyone could learn from that with you. I really do.
Yeah, I think
kudos to you.
Framework is really important. Like for the example you just gave, like, how great is it that you can sit down and, like, make something you're proud of, you know? How great is it that, like, the company wanted you in the first place? How great is it that you're even in a space that, like, you get to compete to do that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, when you look at that, like, at some point you're no longer failing. You're just, like, missing personal marks. Because it's someone else's world, like, you're good.
Right. Yeah, that's a great perspective. I might borrow that in my next staff meeting. Say, how great is it that we got to propose on this thing, even if we didn't win?
Yeah.
That we were even on the list.
Right.
It's huge, yeah. I like that a lot. I like that. So who do you envision, we've talked about this a little bit, could benefit from using Monda? Like, is that something that I would benefit from? Is it everybody? Is it?
I think by phase two of it. Phase one, I think, is mostly for people who want to meditate.
Okay.
People who need to, like, slow down and been to a therapist. This initial stage is more targeted towards people who are, like, already in the mental health space. By phase two of the app, it's going to be like like for everyone.
So let's talk about phase two and what's going to be included in phase two.
So phase two is going to have this thing called Uplift.
Okay.
But basically, it's just going to be like a positive feed section where, let's say you and your followers at Synergy get on and you want to say, like, no matter how hard your week is, like, keep going. It's worth it. And everyone on there would be able to, like your post.
Okay.
Like, comment, share it with people on or off the app. There's also going to be, like, the group functionality that we currently have is going to be, like, slightly shifted to more like how WhatsApp app does things. And what's cool about this, it's, like, it'll be a true, like, social media platform mm-hmm. where, like, let's say you don't want to meditate. You don't want to journal. All you want to do is, like, share positivity to other people. Like, that'll build into, like, your daily streak of, like, doing something, okay. like, helpful for your world and other people.
So how do you envision moderating that? Like, you're not going to read, and nor should you be reading everybody's post. How do you make sure that it's positive?
Yeah, I got two approaches to this. The first one is, like, when you see meditate, journal, affirmation, like, hopefully nothing crosses your mind to, like, cuss or, like,
be an idiot.
Yeah. Now, like, over the course of the first, like, 4 or 5 months, if we see that that's an issue, we're gonna we have, like, a couple, like, flag words that we already have.
Okay.
But I think going into it, because it's a mental health app, I'm gonna lean on the side of trusting people versus like, restricting immediately. The reason why I say that, like, imagine you have, like, a strength coach and mm-hmm. he has, like, followers in the strength coach community, and for them saying, like, kill the effing day is positive.
Right.
Like, I don't want to restrict that.
Right.
Because it's like, that's not negative in their world.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I want to keep it as unrestricted as possible, but if it becomes a, like, unhealthy thing.
Yeah.
But what's good about it, also, it's only 150 characters, so you can't, like, abuse the keyboard.
Right.
But what's good about it is, like, very similar to Snapchat. You only see what your friends post.
Okay.
So, like, if you don't follow someone, you can't see what they're posting.
Okay.
So there's a restriction on just, like, content that's not a part of your world.
So you couldn't get into some weird situation where, like, bots were posting things.
Yeah.
That would be my concern because, you know, we see that in Twitter and even Facebook.
Yeah.
Starting to see it now in LinkedIn, which I've never seen before, but there are bots posting on LinkedIn now and commenting, which is new.
Yeah.
So that would be my concern more. I love the whole concept of it, though. We use software at Synergy called Heytaco, which is a silly thing, but basically what we do is you can give someone virtual tacos.
Yeah.
And so, like, if one of my team members, say Matt, did something great, I can say, hey, Matt, here's three tacos for the day. And what we do is if someone receives the most tacos for the month, they're the taco champion for the month, and the whole company just sort of celebrates them. And it's become this, I mean, it's not just tacos. It's really that someone's recognizing that you've done something really great. And it might be a work project, or it might be you just made someone's day, or you know, it could be anything like that. And it feels to me like that, but outside of the confines of synergy. You're being positive out in the world. And, you know, the hippie in me thinks you put positivity out there. And
it comes out.
And it comes back.
You read what you sell. I'm a huge proponent of that. Like, I think whatever you put into the world just come back.
Yeah. I say same life karma. If you do something good will happen to you. I really, really, truly believe that.
Yeah. But you can't do good expecting good.
No.
From a good place.
No. Yeah. I absolutely agree. So what have been some of the biggest challenges that you faced in developing and launching Monda? Like,
what are
the hurdles that you maybe couldn't have anticipated? And
I would say less Monda, more like CEO hat.
Okay.
It's so interesting to like tell someone to do something and it makes complete sense to you. And then when they do it, you're like, this is just wrong.
This is not at all what I wanted. Yeah.
Learning how to be specific with communication and like what I want and like making sure someone understands
is
very important. I realized I had an idea to start an app, and a week later I'm investing my money into starting an app. Like, I wouldn't necessarily call that urgent, but like when it's time for me to do something, I do it.
Right.
So like understanding different people's like urgencies to get things done has been decently like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's an interesting challenge. I feel you completely. It's an interesting challenge because you need people to do what you need them to do. And I'm the same way in that if I want something done, generally I want it done now. And that's just how I roll.
Yeah.
And what I've had to do is really take a step back and say, okay, Rhoda, is it something that really needs to be done now? Or does it, you know, figure out when it really needs to be done and say when it really needs to be done. But then the other interesting challenge is that it's hard to push people hard, but not to the point where they're like, peace out, you know?
Yeah.
And it's different than when you're playing basketball because people can quit. They can say, you know what? I don't want to work for you, Joe, or I don't want to work with you. And you know, so yes, I feel your pain.
100%.
Yeah.
And like, I was talking about this with my mom a couple of days ago. Like, I'll be direct. Like, cause sometimes you just have to be direct.
Right.
And I'm like, God. So like I was immediately praying. But like sometimes you just have to be direct or like people won't do things.
Yeah.
But that's been interesting. As a startup, whatever you think the deadline is, like, okay, this is when this needs to be done. It's been like humbling to realize that like the date that you have in mind will probably just not be the day.
Right.
That's been very humbling. Because you put all your anticipation, like, all right, on March 12th, like, this will be ready.
Right.
And then it's, like, March 23rd, and people are asking you questions, like, what happened? And you're like...
Yeah. Well, I love my developer friends, but when you're dealing with developers... So, my belief, and I have managed a lot of developers in my career, my belief is that they go into it with all the best intentions and think things are going to be much easier than they are.
Yeah.
And then you give them what needs to be done and either it wasn't articulated clearly or the complexity of it maybe people didn't understand. And now it's 8 weeks later and you're like, wait, but you told me this was going to be March 12th and it's May 12th.
Yeah.
And yes.
That's been interesting to navigate.
Yeah.
Anything else? I don't think so. I think those are the main things.
Yeah. Now, have you had to hire any employees that have families yet?
Nah.
Yeah.
Staying away from that.
There's going to come a point in time that is what I tell people. I, you know, the running a company, and I similar story in that Synergy was bootstrapped and it was, you know, our family's personal money that started it. What I tell people is, you know, it's all well and good when everybody's partners and everybody's got a stake in it.
Yeah.
As soon as you hire that person that they quit their existing job
to come work for you
and they have a family to support, what I didn't get was the pressure of that. And that, like, if I make a mistake or if my vision is wrong or isn't realized for this company, this person has quit their job.
And
their livelihood, to a certain extent, is dependent on me. Now, we all have free will and you can go work where you want to work. But that was, like, the pressure of that was not something that I ever expected.
When
you get there, call me. I'll be like, okay, Joe, let's sit down. You have the tools, though, to manage it, at least with Monda.
Yeah.
You know, are you using the app yourself?
I do. My favorite, because I already meditate on my own for
right.
like an hour. My favorite tool to use is the Vanishing Journal. And then I have affirmations set up. And then, like, I have a couple friends who have wanted to get into meditation, so I'll do a group meditation with them. But when it comes to, like, meditating, I already have my own thing.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, I understand. Have you had user feedback influence the direction of the app?
Yeah. So the biggest thing people have seen is, like, they want to be able to add and remove friends.
Okay.
So instead of downloading it and, like, if someone else has your phone number, they're automatically on your, like, one of your friends, changing that function.
Okay.
People want the ability to meditate in silence, so adding that.
Okay.
People want the ability to meditate for less than 5 minutes. So adding...
Is that meditation?
I mean, if you want to meditate for a minute, I'm going to give it to you. Like.
Okay.
Adding that function. Let's see. Oh, there's a practice now. Instead of a practice now, like, let's say you truly struggle with just meditating versus, like, us taking you on, like, do 5 minutes 25 times. We're going to shift that to doing guided meditations.
Okay.
So that, like, if sitting in silence is really hard for you, at least you'll have another option where people are guiding you through it. And lastly, that's really it.
Okay.
Those are all five.
Okay. I think we've talked about this a little bit, but balancing the dual role of a CEO and current athlete and student,
mm-hmm.
you've got that pretty well covered.
Yeah.
I'd say, are you in class now? Are you?
No, I don't. So right now in the summer, I'm, like, basketball CEO, right?
Okay.
And then my co-founder, what I'm trying to do is, like, by the time, like, basketball and school starts, like, certain things that I know I won't be able to do all the time because
right.
of my time allocation. Like,
right.
give him, like, you know, the power and authority to handle certain things.
Yeah.
So, like slowly handing over more trust.
You need to do that anyway because it'll break you. You can't, as the company grows, you can't do everything. I mean, I have experienced that, and it was really hard. I'm a control freak. I mean, I will tell you that I'm the most type A person you've ever met. And so for me to do things like even silly stuff like, you know, in the beginning, it was just me and two other people. And so I would do all the monthly invoicing because it was just me and two other people. Handing that off was difficult. And those are, you know, the financials, all the money management, all of that, you know, you will lose your mind if you don't. And it's just going to grow beyond what Joe personally can do. So I think that you're doing that. I'm trying to envision, you know, basketball season's going on and you're getting on a plane and in a hotel room and, you know, you got to shoot around and you got to kind of all this stuff and how you manage. Okay. Now I got to make a business phone call.
Oh, since it's my life, like, that's so normal to me.
Okay.
So that's not too hard. And, I think this last season kind of gave me, like, a really big glimpse into it. I was on the phone a lot, but it's cool. Like, it's so cool to go from the competitive team to, like, the, like, business team.
Yeah.
And it's like you're constantly, like, I don't know, ingratiating yourself with other people. And I think it's nice to do something that serves more than yourself.
Do your teammates even understand what it is that's happening in your life? Are they
they kind of do it. They'll make jokes like, I don't know, like one of my teammates will say like, oh, you're trying to be rich, or like, they'll just kind of say like, oh, Joe's busy, or like, he's a businessman, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
I'd be like, damn straight, I am a businessman.
I just laugh and I'm like, I'm just like y'all. I'm just, instead of playing video games, like my video game is just a company.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. Right. I love it. I think it's great. Yeah. I think for, because, you know, you're a graduate student now, I think for the younger guys, what a great role model to have. It's not just all about, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to be a basketball player and I'm going to go play in the NBA, which maybe people do and maybe they don't, but you can do other things. Yeah, you know, you don't have to be defined by your sport or this thing that you do. So what a great role model. It's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
I could take you everywhere and introduce you to people. We would have so much fun. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs? What have you learned in this process?
You have to make people believe things they can't see.
Yeah.
Like, you can't give in to discouragement. Because at the end of the day, like, if you're doing something that's different or has never been done, there's no exact blueprint to follow. And you have to be willing to, like, lean in to the ambiguity of it all. And lastly, like, love people. I think the more you just genuinely care about other people, the more you, like, are interested in someone else, you get connected to people who could potentially help you more. And it's not like you're doing those things for a transactional reason. It's just, like, just be a good human, and like we were saying earlier, like, be a good human and good things will probably come out from that.
Awesome. I love it. Well, thank you for coming in.
Thank
really
you for
appreciate having you.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thank you.